In the forests surrounding your camp, there are roads which lead through safely. One must never step off the path or risk mischief at minimum, disappearance at worst. Today, however, you saw a shiny, iridescent pearl sitting on a stump off the side of the trail and couldn't help but take a look. In a forest where corrupted undergrowth is the norm, and the air itself is defiled with a deep, sensual musk, this is a peculiar grove. The tree which has fallen over is glistening, shining with a yellowish, no, golden, sap. The thing on the stump which drew your eye is a large and milky pearl, with a rainbow spark at the core of it, changing prismatically. You gaze into it, enjoying the pure warmth. Pure. Yes, the grass here is green. The plants are normally shaped. Not one of them seems to be corrupted. This thing is cleansing this place. You walk forward, marveling at something with such potent purifying power. Surely it will be of use in your conflict with the demons. Shining. Glistening. Your mind follows the trails of flaw and imperfection in the light of the crystal. You want to hold it, take it, and consume it? Yes. Something about this small, mysterious stone tells you that it would dissolve on your tongue, cleansing you of the many corruptions of your journey thus far. You reach for it.
Nuh-uh, not for you.
Fluttering wings is a small woman, a glistening fairy, darts by on gossamer wings and scoops the pearl speedily up off the stump.
We were having such a nice nap, then you bumbled in and tried to steal. This is ours, and it's how we stay safe and keep the goblins and beasties away.
You say you're sorry, as the fairy flutters there, well out of reach. Her form clad in a green dress woven of leaves. She has a curvaceous and busty form, but is of course only a foot or so tall, hovering in the air, a small creature barely able to lift the pearl in her hands while scolding you. You point out that the fact the pearl did not keep you away surely meant you are not a beastie of any kind. But she rejects this analysis out of hand.
Not corrupt isn't the same as being fun. You've got to prove it. Catch me if you can.
More fairies flit into the grove. Two more, in orange and yellow dresses, also woven from leaves. They flit next to the first one, and you see them passing the pearl from hand to hand. If you want your treasure, you'll have to participate in their game and follow them through the woods, and well off the path. The clearing might be uncorrupted, but the rest of the forest certainly contains vines and plants which tempt. Some of their sap gets on you and makes you throb. Your body is heated and rebellious, almost distracting you into satisfying your growing lust with one of the many tentacle beasts or vined plants around you. But no, ahead, far ahead, you see a shining pass from one fairy to another.
Too slow.
The third fairy next to you flies past and kisses you on the cheek, a peck only, and then she's off, moving quickly, Not so quickly you couldn't catch up, but the smooch set you tingling. You wait in place, running your hands over your arms, feeling the heat spread. Her kiss, your fingers come away from your cheek, wet, with something insidious and now dosed into you. The lipstick was poisoned, dosed. It feels rather nice and tingly, so you don't mind. But now you're even more determined to catch the mischievous yet pure creatures. You want to know what that object is. The woods are lighter, greener, less full of glistening sentient plant life, and you know the pearl is doing something to them in its passing. This makes it easier for you to pick up speed on clear ground. So you do. They're getting closer. Soon you will either lose them entirely as you reach the edge of the woods, or catch one in this headlong game of tag. You say you're sorry, as the fairy flutters there, well out of reach, her form clad in a green dress woven of leaves. She has a curvaceous and busty form, but is of course only a foot or so tall, hovering in the air, a small creature barely able to lift the pearl in her hands while scolding you. You point out that the fact the pearl did not keep you away surely meant you are not a beastie of any kind, but she rejects this analysis out of hand.
Not corrupt isn't the same as being fun. You've got to prove it. Catch me if you can.
More fairies flit into the grove. Two more, in orange and yellow dresses, also woven from leaves. They flit next to the first one, and you see them passing the pearl from hand to hand. If you want your treasure, you'll have to participate in their game and follow them through the woods, and well off the path. The clearing might be uncorrupted, but the rest of the forest certainly contains vines and plants which tempt. Some of their sap gets on you and makes you throb. Your body is heated and rebellious, almost distracting you into satisfying your growing lust with one of the many tentacle beasts or vined plants around you. But no, ahead, far ahead, you see a shining pass from one fairy to another.
Too slow.
The third fairy next to you flies past and kisses you on the cheek, a peck only, and then she's off, moving quickly. Not so quickly you couldn't catch up, but the smooch set you tingling. You wait in place, running your hands over your arms, feeling the heat spread. Her kiss, your fingers come away from your cheek, wet, with something insidious and now dosed into you. The lipstick was poisoned, dosed. It feels rather nice and tingly, so you don't mind. But now you're even more determined to catch the mischievous yet pure creatures. You want to know what that object is. The woods are lighter, greener, less full of glistening sentient plant life, and you know the pearl is doing something to them in its passing. This makes it easier for you to pick up speed on clear ground. So you do. They're getting closer. Soon you will either lose them entirely as you reach the edge of the woods, or catch one in this headlong game of tag. The green one is ahead. No, she doesn't have the pearl. And that's the real prize. You run right past her. She quickly kisses you on the cheek. Without thinking too much about it, you bring one hand up and grab her, gently snatching the diminutive woman around the waist mid-kiss. You stop your pursuit, banking on a hunch.
Hey, let go of her!
A voice from one of the fairies, very far ahead of you. They thought you would give chase. They banked on you being more merciful. And on not... Well, what are you doing? You look at the struggling fairy in your hand. You began a chase, sure, and now you've caught one. You wanted the pearl, but if they're telling the truth, it's not really yours to take. Paused in thought, you hear the two flitting women returning to you, and then the sound of a spring-loaded release. Just ahead of you, a net launches. It must have been on a timer, for it has now struck the two other fairies and borne them to the ground. The net shrinks. Shrinks. Keeps shrinking. And shreds their clothing in the process when the net is tight to both of the fairies' bodies. It forms an attractive and restricting rope harness, binding arms and legs, wrapping around their breasts and showing everything off. The space between the fairies' legs are dripping as the ropes rub on their slits, press around their clits, and otherwise restrict them in sexually suggestive and humiliating poses. You see them shiver and wonder if they are climaxing or simply being held on the edge. Okay, seeing that, you're a little less inclined to be merciful, given you are seeing the trap they plan to lead you into. The one in your hand looks at her two foolish friends, then at you.
So, what are you going to do to me? Are you going to ravish me?
It makes you think. You didn't really think about that. The pearl isn't yours, and the trap didn't hit you. Based on the way the two fallen figures continue to moan, they intended to do more than just leave you there. But they're no threat. In answer to the question from the green-clad fairy, you shake your head and explain that you just got carried away, actually.
Oh,
she sounds disappointed.
Well, we've been very naughty, though,
she says by way of protest.
What are you doing?
Comes the cry from the bound, moaning figures below.
Oh, how in the world are you thinking this way? You horny thing, we can catch another one. How humiliating.
But she sounds like she's turned on by that humiliation. The one standing on your palm slowly peels off her green dress, revealing proportionately quite large breasts, curved hips, and a pussy that is already noticeably soaked.
So, what do you say? We all want this.
You ask whether they really do, but...
Fine. Damn you. Yes, please. Please let us taste you. Please use us for your pleasure. Oh, fuck. You're turned on, and we can smell it. I want you. We can't get out of this thing until tomorrow, and it keeps...
The net, which has split off into two separate rope harnesses, chooses this moment to tighten and rub itself against their clits.
Oh!
They're in immense pleasure, and you're doing them a favor. And the one in your palm of your hand is humping against one of your fingers, rubbing her sex into a slickened mess as her lips spread and her tiny nub brushes against the firmness of your skin. You wonder why they're so interested, but you aren't going to complain. You order her off your hand and begin to strip off your clothes until you're as bare and exposed as everyone else in the clearing. You look around for a place to settle. The dripping minx in the palm of your hand says quickly,
"Oh, let me help."
She's desperate. They all are. You couldn't see it before. You thought fae were mysterious and regal. You didn't realize they were all basically bitches in heat. These ones fit that description, and they seem to see your thoughts reflected in your eyes. Reaching down to the two fairies writhing on the forest floor, their rope harnesses masturbating them into a frenzy, you lift them onto your lap. Touching your bare skin excites them some, but nothing does the work so much as your arousal. They can smell you in the air, and their arousal becomes more copious as yours grows. One is still on your hand, humping against your finger. You close your hand around her and let her feel your skin on hers. The two on your lap clamber nearer, and they begin to stimulate you.
Now that you've caught them, you don't quite know what to. Oh. The two you placed on your lap push, and the push has a peculiar strength that shoves you back into the softness of the forest floor. The two of them mount up and slide their hands along your pussy lips, leaning in to lick juices from your slit. They are roving toward your clit, pushing back its hood. It looks so huge, almost comically so, compared to the tiny fairies. But to them, there is nothing funny about it. Their eyes show only gorgeous admiration and something else. A hazy response to your sexual fluids that has them giggly and horny. The curvy women cling to your being to rub the tip of your clit, massaging it with your juices to make sure only pleasant sensations result. The tingly saliva you responded to earlier causes a sudden rush of engorgement when they begin sucking and licking the sides of your clit, pushing their faces right against your pussy and cheerfully drinking down any and all secretions which cross their paths. They are humping against their hands, laying face down on your thigh, and their humping has left little puddles of their juices echoing your soaked sex. Their pussies were drooling before, and the silken ropes of their harnesses cling to them, keeping them locked against you. The rope is tight and working their clits a bit in the sheer lubrication of whatever frenzy has been provoked by your juices. You press upward, experimentally humping back against them, pushing your pussy upwards into greater prominence against their tongues, their searching fingers, and they moan in desperate, high, wild joy.
Yes, just like that. You're so wet. It's so good. Oh.
They're babbling incoherently, your juices slicking their faces. Whatever form the ropes are taking on them, they're pushing right against their clits. You can tell by how their tits bounce. Their mouths open, drool trickles from the corners, a picture of desperate debauchery that has you even wetter, which feeds the cycle of your arousal into their mouths, into their minds, into a lustful, lost disposition. This adds to the sticky mess down there and evokes a peculiar response. Both the fairies begin inhaling intensely,
before dipping their fingers into your pussy and slurping your juices up. They're enjoying the taste, the scent, everything about you as if you were a fine liqueur, intoxicating and desirable. It's more than a little flattering and compliments the tingles from their skillful and fine manipulation of your clit, giddy giggles, periodic twitches, and even faster humping against their hands in desperate quest for climax paints a better picture. They clearly love what they are doing, and your taste even more so, and have no intention of stopping. But there is still one more fairy to tend to. The one on your hand looks longingly, pleadingly over her shoulder and down at your soaked cunt. The forest floor is very soft, and you can tell a leaf bed was prepared here for you to lay on, fall on, and probably be ravished on. The two who are servicing your pussy have fastened their lips and suctioned seal to either side of your clit. They're rubbing your pussy lips and bringing forth as much of your juice as possible so they can lick it off their hands before refastening to your over-buzzing nub. You reach down, pushing their faces aside and eliciting desperate whimpers, even depriving them of that moment's contact with your scent. Your taste seems to perturb the two fae who are working on what must be their third climax, based on the shivering, full-body lockdowns that happen from time to time. Their soft inner thighs are dappled with juices running from opening and clenching slits. Their clits stand proud enough of their hoods that you can feel the fairies humping their own brains out, stimulating beyond the point of reason. But you have a mission. The pleading eyes of the one in the palm of your hand have convinced you that you must help her out. You scoop up some of your own sticky juice, quite a bit, and convey it up to the fairy who sits on your other palm. She slurps it instantly, fastening her mouth around the tip of your finger, and then beginning to worship the digit which carries your flavor. Your slime has an almost instant effect, her eyes glazing, cheeks flushing, lost in the way she flushes and her nipples instantly stand pebbly towers in the wake of suckling.
Oh, it's so good. I won't be able to go back to going without.
She giggles and then begins to hump even more earnestly against your palm. The entire clearing smells of sexual ache. And the fluids from you and the fae both, pussy juices dappling the clearing floor and painting the four of you very well, are afflicting you with an arousal not dissimilar from their own on exposure to your needy lubrication. Between your legs, the two fae are holding hands, squeezing each other firmly to endure the sheer force of their arousal. Your scent, your taste, this place has them in a wild heat they can only satiate through servicing you more. Tension, climax. They continue their stimulation and seem to have no inclination to cease. You enjoy observing their big tits, curvy hips, and bouncing butts laid in display above your pussy, as they focus mostly on your sparking clit. Their dual cunnilingus encompasses each of them, licking up any dribble of your fluids which they are able to coax from the soaked passage below. none of which escapes their delicate tongues. They are becoming more and more high on you while painting your clit with their own secretions and saliva to keep it engorged, hot. You might have lost track of climax, or maybe you haven't even had a real one yet, but the way they're worshipping your body is increasing both your clit's firmness, standing proud of its hood, and the sheer wetness which they are beholden to from your slit below. The longer this goes on, the less thinking you are doing, and the harder they are humping. Their little wings flutter, allowing them to rise up and reposition. One of them can fit your clit in her mouth now, and is sucking on it with such a sublimely lost expression. Eyes rolled back and body seizing up as if she wants nothing more in the world than to service you with her little mouth, their hot, sweaty fey bodies to cling and stick to your inner thighs as climax drives them on. Sweat stands out because their overworked core muscles and little fluttering wings are making their bodies physically hotter with every climax.
Oh, so much more. Please, please, come let us drink. It's so sticky and sweet, and it's, oh. We needed this. We'd heard stories. We didn't think it was this good. So good. So relaxing. Feels...
The one on your hand agrees. She's pursing her lips to look at you. You keep scooping up your own juice and ferrying it to her lips so she can slurp it up. More and more dosed on your scent and taste. This is raising her arousal, making her arch and push against your palm. But she's not getting off like the others are. Apparently, exposure to your pussy directly is turning them on enough to help with their pleasure. Yours is mounting too, and... You decide to help the one on your hand. You lift her up, up, and lean back. You extend your tongue and lower the fairy onto it. Her slick slit makes contact, and she instantly arches. Delicious. The scent of her pussy and her spread pussy lips, which drool with the juice you are prepared to clean off. Between your legs, the pulse and pump of a sex toy made of two eager, worshipping fae. On your face, the fairy humping your tongue, her juices drooling down, sweet, tangy, and her mouth open to moan and babble.
Oh, 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 thank you, so hot, so, thank you, sorry we tricked you, we thought we had to, but, oh, love it, lick me, don't stop, can't stop.
She's using her wings to flap up and down so she can ride out the rippling waves of your tongue. You slickly run it over her entire pussy, coating the whole area between the fairy's legs. You buck quickly, hips jumping. It snuck up on you. You didn't see it coming. So much power, the spark and jolt of their intentions finally bearing fruit. Your inner passage squeezes around their fingers as the two go back for more of your juices, but they find them suddenly thicker and stickier. Their mouths never leave your clit, and the juice is even sweeter, as you can tell from their gasps to that effect. You bring more up for the one on your tongue, and she slurps it while never ceasing her ride, coming in her own thigh-clenching, tongue-tingling experience. Your juices are flowing so thickly, you know they will soon dapple your inner thighs. Between the hazy spasms and impossible pleasure, you realize the juices are not, in fact, flowing out. Where is it going? Oh, no. You squirt again, and looking down, turning your head so that the fey on your face can keep pumping your tongue while you nonetheless see what is happening between your legs. You see that one of the fey has her mouth right at your opening, trying to hold back the tide of extra juices being squeezed out by your convulsions. Good. It feels good. Head empty and hot, body surrounded by dedicated, serving, pleasured fae. One of the fairies has her mouth over the tip of your clit again. Despite your ongoing climax, she's sucking like her life depends on it. Just like her friend, slurping at the entrance of your squeezing and orgasming passage. They're both mid-climax, rolling and humping against you, the one on your tongue joining them, all of you, coming to fruition, coming to completeness, losing yourself in climactic escapism. Glorious escape into pleasure. The two between your legs keep riding, keep writhing, keep pushing up and down so that you are caught between them in a pleasurable, pulsing, tongue-serving, pussy-lapping toy made of their bodies. Their nipples are pointed, as you can tell from their tits pushing against you, and their juices are running so copiously, you are painted with them almost as much as your own. This makes sense, given they're drinking all of yours that they can. Climax, sizzling along your back, and the joy of painting the two fairies with your juices in such a way that they are licking it off even long after you've stopped flowing quite so copiously.
Oh, thank you.
Their voices filter up. You can still feel the magical rope harnesses that was meant for you wrapped on them, presumably tormenting them extra and keeping them high and horny. They're so aroused, they do keep humping, even when your aftershocks begin to flag. You pay it no mind, just enjoying the extra tingling sensation. You have something else to do. Bringing one hand up behind the fairy who's riding your tongue, you push her down onto it. Your other hand has already gone to scoop up some of your post-climactic pussy juice and ferry the thick stuff up as a treat. She whimpers, eager and wordless, before beginning to denude your glistening digit of its sticky cargo. The savoring little clicks of her tongue and lips tell you just how much she prizes your taste, and she lets not one drop escape. Her pussy gushes against your tongue. Climax, release, coming just from drinking you. You close your eyes and focus on using your tongue, pushing her down against it, Once she has finished drinking her treat, you lick. She shivers and comes. Her juices flood your senses and trap you in pleasure. Your back arches and you push up, your pussy still soaked and now eager for more. You haven't been tired out from all the pleasant euphoria of their juices and attentions. Quite the contrary. More. You want more. They are happy to deliver. They worship your pussy in tandem, and the one on your tongue arches and grinds pleasantly the longer you lick. And you have no intention of stopping anytime soon. Eventually, you do stop. Your entire body glistens with their saliva, as they were quite insistent in their haze that they be allowed to lick and taste and search for any errant drops of your arousal. When they've sobered up, returned to their groggily but less aroused state, they ask you what you want because they owe you. One even shyly offers their glistening prize, one hand between her legs, still working her pussy. The magical ropes have released them, but none have put their clothes back on, and their long falls of hair are disheveled, their slick inner thighs glisten with almost dried juices, and you cannot help but feel an outpouring of affection for the desperate and mischievous creatures. You won't take the pearl, after all, as it protects them, but you mention you could use some help handling your needs from time to time, and you would welcome their polite, obedient sexual services at your camp now and then, say, in exchange for all the juice they can slurp up and all the climax you wish them to give you. Their eyes alight, all three agree at once, stammering, whimpering, lifting the pearl reverently and flying away with a blush on their cheeks and a reluctant glance back at you. Now that you're alone, you collapse back onto the soft leaves, exhausted, their sweetness on your tongue, their giggles in your ears, and a hope in your mind that you might just get to see them again. Their response to your body and fluids was surprising, but not nearly as surprising as how cute they were. With thoughts of whimpering Fae rioting through your fantasizing brain, you gather your discarded clothes and head slowly back to the camp. In possession of treasure of a rather different sort than you initially sought, the memory of a delighted arching backs, delectable slicked juices on your tongue, and the heavy languor of your own muscles. You wonder when they will come to visit, and if they even know where your house is, until you see, sitting on the mantelpiece in your small cabin as you return, a glistening silver pearl.